You all right there, mate? You're looking a little blue around the gills.
Oh, I'm hanging on.
You all right? Yeah. Have you thought about trying one of these nice, ice-cold, refreshing glasses of Pepsi Max Cherry? Now with less sugar, less additives, but more flavour.
But are you doing a Truman Show?
This is the Truman Show, mate.
I was going to say, because that Pepsi is room temperature. And it's room temperature. I'm also drinking it.
Yeah.
It's also not cherry.
It's not.
But it is the Truman Show.
It is the Truman Show. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast!
That weirdly hurt my chest. It took me a second to come back from that. I don't know why. Not the lung.
Right.
But it felt like I'd expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I released, something shifted.
It's called having lungs, bud. Welcome to the world. Yeah.
It's odd.
That's called a deep breath.
I did a little run today. I didn't nearly die. That's when I say a little run, I mean it was a corridor. It isn't like a fucking marathon.
Okay.
I did a little run like it was 45 steps.
Right, yeah. That's close.
But I got to the end of the corridor and I was like, oh.
Nice.
Okay.
See, I can't do that.
I don't feel like crumpled origami anymore.
I can't do that, which is why I've been a little bit ill. And I was doom scrolling for about 3 days. And I realised, yeah, it was a bit much. So I was like, I'm going to take myself to the big hill nearby, which is called the Wrekin.
It's a mountain. It's a very small mountain.
Very small mountain.
Don't take that away from us.
And I thought I'd take a slow stroll up. But for whatever reason, my legs decided power walk was the only option.
Why? That's horrendous.
I only realised I'd done it when I got about 10% of the way up and was seeing stars.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the rest of this journey is a write-off now.
The rest of the journey is steeper.
Yeah, yeah.
The beginning bit is known, I call it the pacer, right?
Right.
It's the pacemaker.
Right.
Sounds way cooler than a slight incline. Right.
I've decided now, I'm going to still power walk it, but I'm going to keep power walking until one day I can power walk to the top. And then the view will be a nice treat,
right?
As will my official Shropshire residency, which is the reward.
You'll become Telfordian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be my cardio. Because I go to the gym a couple of times a week now.
Yeah.
My cardio is still shit. I still get to the top of a flight of stairs.
Right.
Completely gassed out. And so once a week, I'm going to try power walk up the Wrekin. And the goal is to just get a little bit further than last week. I may never make it, but I don't care. So yeah, I've just been doom scrolling and then gassing myself up on a mountain. Yourself?
I'm doing weirdly good, man. Doing weirdly good.
That is odd. This might be the first one in like 6 months.
Yeah, dude. I can fucking sleep again.
I
know that sounds stupid to say out loud. If you're a new listener, hear me out. I've just had lung surgery. I've been sleeping sitting bolt upright for 5 weeks.
Yes, like Count Orlok.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But now, no pregnancy pillow, lying flat, and last night I slept on my stomach. Fucking gorgeous.
Good man.
Gorgeous. I can't tell you. I've been on these like weird dopamine patches.
Right.
They're like mushroom extract things. You stick them on. It's essentially a sticker. It's just a really fun way to get your brain to go.
Which mushrooms, though?
Lion's mane, I think, is the main one.
Okay, that's
not magic.
Fine.
No.
I was just checking we weren't.
No, I spoilt that train too soon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know those things where people are like, I'm sober.
Yeah.
These chocolates are lovely. And I'm like, maybe.
That's your 45th liqueur.
Yeah, exactly. I was just checking. It wasn't like, it's microdosing. It doesn't count. I'm like, it does count.
Yeah, you're just a little bit not sober.
Shall we get into what we're doing today?
Yeah, man, hit me.
Right, so I want to know. Not now, but in a minute. We're just going to sum up the show. But the first order of business is how much attention is the right amount of attention for you?
Oh, okay. And then we're going to be getting into how Peter Weir, yet again, found greatness in those around him.
Is the writer of The Truman Show, Andrew Niccol, a wizard? I'm going to spoil it. The answer is yes.
He fucking is. The real life Truman victims.
Right. And I'm going to leave that open-ended because it could be that he got out of there and started axe murders. And I would argue he'd be justified in doing so, more so than some axe murderers. But
there
are real life Truman victims.
I've got a
theory. And then we're going to move on to possibly the best bit of analysis I will ever make for this show.
Okay.
It's that, or it's mental.
Yeah.
And it's hijacked the entire episode.
Okay.
But it's all about, it's what's going to happen when we tell you.
What's it really mean?
So listen, in a break from usual programming.
Yeah.
I've not written a breakdown this week.
Okay.
Because I figured...
No, this is fine. I deal with change perfectly fine.
You do,
perfectly
right.
Well.
No, here's the thing.
Let me just put 14 patches on real quick.
I figure everyone has either seen this movie
mm-hmm.
or if they haven't, we're going to spoil it anyway.
You've also, you've seen an offshoot of it. Big Brother's a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're aware, but...
Right. So it's a man who discovers his entire life is carefully managed TV set that televises every moment of his life. And the movie is a slow realization that he needs to escape into the real world.
Yeah.
His father's death at sea
yeah.
was fake to give him a deathly fear of water that surrounds the set.
Yeah, it needs to keep him on the island.
Yeah, and his close loved ones are paid actors who incessantly product place mm-hmm. to raise revenue for the show run by the elusive Christoph.
Mm.
In terms of what we're talking about,
right?
That's all you really need to know if you've not seen it.
That's the entire film.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Now, instead of reminding you of every detail, I've got a different thing.
Okay.
I want those people that can to do some homework for us.
Okay.
Listen to the episode.
Right.
Hear what we have to say about the movie, and then with our thoughts in mind,
right.
rewatch it.
Okay.
Because this is a little new, and it's going to be a tiny bit different, and I may have lost my fucking mind.
Okay.
But I've got a thing.
Yeah.
And I'd like some feedback on it, because I think I might have bust this whole thing wide open.
Discord and Patreon will help us out with this. They're fucking legends right. for it.
I'd need to know if I've not lost my fucking mind.
Yeah, they're legends for it.
How much is the right amount of attention for you, Ben?
It depends entirely. Is this like a genuine personal question?
This isn't a title. I'm curious to know.
Okay.
How much would I need to pay you
to
wear a camera?
Fuck all.
Fuck all.
It just depends what. Well, when?
All the time. 100%
all the time.
Like when you're pooing, when you're peeping, when you're,
fucking.
Yeah.
Is there like legal release forms for this? Because I feel like that's a crime.
Yeah. Everyone would be signed on, but
so it's all legal. It's all above board. Every moment of my life is
when
is,
you tickle the pickle.
I don't know if there's enough.
You don't know if there's enough.
I don't know if there's enough because I talk to myself a lot.
Okay, so there's the extreme.
Yeah.
But what if? What about the podcast? You've got a podcast.
I love, yeah, but this is great though, because what this is a different type of attention though. So this is, I feel for me, a way of like pseudo socializing.
Right.
Where you teach me about films that I would never normally watch.
And likewise.
And a side of cinema that I really enjoy. And likewise,
and
right?
You get to teach me about your strange films.
Cool. Plus, great. It's a nice way to keep on track, like the sobriety thing. I have something to focus on. I have a commitment and I have an obligation and something to do like this. And the people that listen to it, hopefully, get something from it.
I've heard good things.
I've heard some things. but it's a weird like learning experience I get to share with a bunch of other people. And I pick up different things from every single person in the Discord has taught me something, if not about cinema, about certain films, about certain directors. They share their inputs and stuff like this. It's a weird pseudo-social community.
Mm-hmm.
Any positive reinforcement, I fucking despise. And I don't know why. It's a crippling like childhood thing, I think. Mm-hmm. If I'm at a party or if I'm in a big social gathering and I'm anxious as fuck or if I'm doing something new for the first time, a little bit of attention.
This is, I've noticed if I'm in a group,
yeah,
I can't let there be a conversation without me having to chip in with something funny.
It just has to be a punchline.
It has to be a punchline.
Yeah,
I have to think of the perfect punchline.
100%.
Wait for a gap, slide that into the gap.
Yeah.
Have everyone laugh and then I can get on with my work again.
I think I use it as a bit of a barrier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To stop it getting I like the deep conversation. We have deep conversations all the fucking time and we have like insightful conversations all the fucking time and it helps me deal with a lot of shit, but also I like to treat all the trauma with the comedy stuff because I feel like a joke is much less scary than a childhood.
Well, that's good because I think this episode it is a deep conversation.
Okay.
And if I'm right, a traumatic one. So
okay, I'm so excited.
I want to talk about the way this film used to be. So Andrew Niccol, the writer, he had this completely different to the film we saw.
Yeah.
He had it set in New York.
Okay.
He had it like an existential torture, dark Kafkaesque movie, a bit like Dark City, but sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
And directors who were considered, Tim Burton, would have been fucking wank. It would have been, all, oh, my dad's gone.
All plasticine and a song about Halloween.
Exactly. Terry Gilliam. Which is a coin toss.
Yeah.
It's either been the greatest film of all time or shit, because that's all Terry Gilliam can do.
It's wild hit and miss.
David Cronenberg.
Again. Wait.
He'd have ended up with a camera in him.
But this... Oh, he'd have
given birth to a television.
Yeah.
I'd pay to see that film, to be fair. Yeah.
Sam Raimi.
Oh, this is 95 Raimi.
95
though, right?
Raimi.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
This is pre-Drag Me to Hell, so I still trust him.
Yeah, or Spielberg.
It's a bit soft.
You'd have left the film with a nice, tidy answer.
Yeah. It would have been a very nice, it would have had a nice, neat, tidy bow on it, and you would have left with a warm,
you'd
fuzzy.
You'd left feeling good. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want that from this film.
But Peter Weir, who'd just come off Dead Poets and then a long break.
Yeah.
Because he was super frustrated. Hollywood was sending him sort of normal films and he was bored with normal films. When you've done Dead Poets Society, there's pressure to be like, I could tell any story I want now. And they're like, how about a rom-com? And he's like, no I'm not going to use my insane amount of leverage.
No.
I want to do something interesting. So he came across Andrew Nichol's screenplay. Knew he'd found the project he wanted to do, gets it greenlit for $60 million with Jim Carrey starring.
Okay.
But then, just like Dead Poets, basically scraps everything.
Okay.
So he wanted the film to be funnier.
Yeah.
It told him that his script was too dark. Peter Weir says, where Nichol had it depressing, I could make it light. Could I convince audiences they would watch a show of this scope 24/7?
So yes.
The film we see is Andrew Nichol's 16th draft of the script.
Wow.
Before Peter Weir considered it ready to film.
Fuck.
Because as always, like he did with Dead Poets,
yeah.
Go to the writer, challenge him, go, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Push that script better every time, but do it in a collaborative way. And in the meantime, write backstory for every fucking character. He handed Ed Harris a 10-page biography for Christoph.
Amazing.
Including Christoph doing a film on the homeless and winning an award. He got all the other extras to write backstory for themselves.
Right.
Because he wanted everyone in the world to know who they were.
This is like a fucking D&D campaign, man.
This is him. He comes in and he goes, you've all got great ideas.
Yeah.
Show them me. Let's use them. Let's all have this big collaborative soup.
Yeah, yeah.
Even to the point where Jim Carrey, in order to get Jim Carrey, he was post Liar Liar and Cable Guy. So he was was quite big at this point. And so he managed to get rewrite authority.
Sick.
Is it?
Yeah.
For Jim Carrey?
No one knows
ADHD
Jim Carrey.
ADHD King.
Exactly. But so having someone else write his lines would have been...
This is it.
Difficult for him
this
to sell.
It. So... They had an interview and Carrey said, for me, my natural reaction is to entertain rather than maybe react. And at times I'd just come up with a bunch of stuff and keep bugging him and throwing my stuff at him. He was open, he'd listen, and he'd carve the edges that didn't belong.
Yeah.
And Weir says, in response, I tried to not inhibit his flow of ideas because we generally check with each other in the morning. I think there's a wonderful feeling and an essential path that the director must take in keeping an actor direction-free. Feeling open to have a certain spontaneity. The last thing you'd want to do is inhibit. I'd never want to tell him, Jim, we don't want this. We don't need that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what he did instead was give Jim Carrey the space to find out for himself why most of his ideas were shit.
That's probably the best way to go about
it.
Yeah.
At no point did he say no. There was a deleted scene with Jim Carrey dancing around with a lawnmower.
Right.
And Jim Carrey was like, no, it'd be hilarious because I could do this whole physical comedy thing with a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And Peter Weir had to just be like, yeah, try it. And they shot it for a day and Jim Carrey watched it and he was like, it's not really this film, is it? He goes, nah, it's not really this film.
Right.
And then eventually, slowly but surely, Jim Carrey kind of goes, actually, maybe all my ideas aren't the best thing since sliced bread. And maybe the director, who's done 16 drafts of the script.
This is it, though.
Knows what.
Yeah.
The film is more than I do.
But also...
Because he wants every scene to be like an SNL sketch.
Yeah, of course.
And Peter Weir's like, we're making a film, cunt.
Yeah, I get this. And I do appreciate it. But also, to have the fucking patience to go, you know what? Purge it.
Yeah.
If this is inside you and you genuinely believe this, let's do it. See how you feel about it afterwards. And then we'll move from there. And I love the fact that Peter Weir had the patience to do that. I love the fact that he just gave Jim Carrey the agency to go, I can make my own mistakes.
Yeah.
All right, I see I've pushed it a little bit farther. I need to pull it back. Because how better do you round out a character than by making all the fucking wrong decisions and going, we're not going to do that.
How else do you manage an ego the size of Jim Carrey's?
Don't.
I mean, this is the man who, when Jim Carrey's very next film, Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman biopic,
fucking
where he got so method that he met Andy Kaufman, deceased, by the way, deceased comedian Andy Kaufman, whilst playing that man's life story, decided to get so into character that he met Andy Kaufman's parents and apologized for dying.
Yeah. That's certainly something.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I read something once that when Jim Carrey was a kid, his he was living in a car with his parents and he used to go to sleep in tap dancing shoes in case anyone during the night got sad or upset. He could cheer them up by entertaining them. And I'm like, that's a very sweet thing. And it's a very endearing thing.
It's a very
thing.
Nice reading of history.
It's also a very naive, borderline... I can solve your issues with my tap dancing.
Isn't it? Isn't it? And it's also a borderline attention addiction.
Kind of.
Which...
this entire film is kind of...
is kind of about.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I wanted to... now we're talking about Andrew Niccol, the writer.
Yeah.
Because he won't come up again because he's not great. He's done a bunch of films that are either like... They're all fine.
Okay.
They're all fine. In Time...
Okay, that's not that bad. Is that Justin Timberlake one? Yeah. That's not that bad.
It's not great.
It's goofy as shit. That's not 16
not
drafts.
Great. He did Good Kill with Ethan Hawke. He did Gattaca, which is great.
Gattaca's fucking amazing.
Gattaca, the Truman Show.
Yeah.
The Terminal wasn't his story. Lord of War with Nick Cage was mid. It's fine. You remember it better than it is.
I do. And I don't want to watch it again because I know that that's true.
And then In Time, The Host, Good Kill, Anon, I Object is one. There's one I've missed out. And the reason I've missed it out is because I think just for a few years, he was drinking the profit juice.
Speaking of drinking, have you tried this delicious new Pepsi?
Stop it. Cherry? Stop it. You're going to feel so bad for that when I get to my what does it really mean? At the time of the Truman Show's production, obviously reality TV didn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But Big Brother, you've mentioned it already.
Yeah.
Dutch format came out a couple of weeks later.
Yes.
And so this was really at the crest of like real life as television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But written long before it was a reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's not his greatest prediction. Truman Show is a great prediction of reality TV and where that was going to go.
Yeah.
But Simone, released in 2002, starring Al Pacino.
Yeah.
The story follows a fading director who creates a virtual actress to star in his films and the attempts he makes to keep her non-presence a secret as this artificial actress becomes more famous.
Mm.
And on Rotten Tomatoes, the summary of the contemporary criticism reads as follows. The satire in Simone lacks bite because the plot isn't believable enough to feel relevant.
Incredible. And then you look at today, where we have AI actors.
What's her bloody name? Tilly Norwood. Tilly Norwood.
Yeah, I know so little about this because I essentially read headline, first paragraph, and it was like, it's really hard for me to care about it because there's not a fiber in my body that goes, oh, that new film starring an AI actor, Tilly.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm not going to put my money into that. I would literally watch. You could fucking give me Leprechaun 7, Leprechaun 8, and Leprechaun 9, and I'll fucking sit in a theater in a triple feature over anything that Tilly bullshit is in.
It's an interesting line, and it's one I'll get to, but I do feel like there's a lot push at the moment for, we can AI that.
Yeah.
And it's possible that the Truman Show may tell us exactly why.
I saw a restaurant yesterday, a local restaurant, putting out an advert on Facebook and social media about their fucking, competition eat thing. Like, eat all of this in 60 minutes and get a free t-shirt.
Food challenge,
challenge
man
thing.
Man versus food vibes.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it's like this big thing, but fucking the video is like a big Sunday dinner, but it's got a slice of pineapple on it. And a fork goes into the pineapple, and I was like, that pineapple's bouncy. And you know, when you're looking at it, I'm like, am I looking at AI? And then all of a sudden, the fork comes up and grows like 9 inches in length, and it is across the screen. And I'm like, what the fuck has happened? I thought it was like a satire thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Real advert. Come and try our food. And I'm like, no.
I was shocked.
No.
A couple of weeks back, you were over here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of bits we were waiting to export, and you were just scrolling on Facebook.
Yeah,
and it was Morphine Ben at the time.
It was Morphine Ben,
and the amount of AI in your feed, because I don't scroll on Facebook. Yeah. I'm Reddit or I mean YouTube or
Facebook is for when I'm shitting. Facebook's right. my shitting scroll. Do you know what I mean?
Huge amounts. I was completely unaware.
All dog videos.
Yeah.
All dog videos.
Right. Insane.
Yeah.
Coming back to that question of how much attention is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two categories here.
Okay.
Too much attention.
Yeah.
Not enough attention.
Interesting.
So there's an interesting element here in the contemporary reviews of The Truman Show.
Okay.
And this is kind of split across too much attention, which is the way people felt about it at the time.
Right.
And not enough attention, which is the way people feel about it now. So when Roger Ebert reviewed The Truman Show in 1998,
yeah,
he said, a hit show based entirely on televising the mundane details of someone's life seems laughable until you realize that we already do this. And he used Princess Diana as an example. Right now.
Right.
Peter Weir brought this up. He said, I think, as we saw with the whole Lady Diana business, the very people who were outraged at the perceived cause of her death,
mm-hmm.
which was the paparazzi chase in the car,
yeah.
were the same people who bought the magazines and the sensational tabloid papers.
Yeah.
Which is very true.
It's disgusting.
Right. He said, that's a complex situation and you can't blame them.
No.
They loved her, but they wanted to watch every moment of her life and killed her through too much attention.
Was it the paparazzi that killed her?
Yeah. So I
thought it was the tunnel.
This is the old joke. She died like a mobile phone signal in a tunnel.
I used to play Call of Duty quite a lot, and you'd be surprised the amount of Americans that would just be sort of like, oh yeah, well, Lady Di's dead though, isn't she? And I'm like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, it sucks to be you. And I'm like, why? Like, I'm not Lady Di.
What do World Hunger and Mercedes have in common?
Hold on. Neither could be sold by Lady Diana.
Princess Diana couldn't stop either of them.
Oh!
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. That's a rich area. That's a rich area.
Did you hear about Elton John's new album featuring Candle in the Wind?
New album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
He decided against the title Live in Paris. What's the similarity between a broken arm and Princess Diana?
I don't know.
You need to get a doctor in to remove the plaster of Paris.
Fucking hell. All right, this is taking a sharp left turn into a wall, isn't it?
The reason I'm so vitriolic mm-hmm. against Princess Diana is, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
Princess Diana, date of death, because in my head it was the same day. Yeah, the 31st of August, 1997,
okay.
She dies.
Yeah.
That's literally my 9th birthday. I was
How dare
fuming.
She take the light? You
I was
I mean?
Fuming.
Rob McFarlane at 9 years old wanted one day about him.
Right.
And it's always about the fucking royal family.
Exactly.
God.
Exactly.
It's not enough that you own us.
Right. This Tory bait.
Yeah. Now we can't have a fucking birthday.
Right.
Without one of you stealing the headlines. Jesus Christ.
So I've always harped, because she her active years
mm-hmm.
were when I was 5, 6, and 7, right? So as a 9-year-old, I didn't really know what the big yeah. deal. I was like, all right, a royal lady has died. And they're like, no, she's the best one.
Sure.
It was so much more prevalent when we were kids, royalism.
It still is. I think we get the choice to avoid it now.
We didn't. We never used to.
No, we don't use. We didn't used to ever, because it was...
Newspapers. If you wanted to buy the news, if you yeah. wanted to know what was happening
yeah.
in the world,
it's the newspapers.
You had to sit through 2 pages.
Now
of,
my magic rectangle that's
angel.
In my pocket, I can just block that shit and then never look at it again.
Funny you should mention that. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Going to the other column, sure. Not enough attention.
Okay.
You heard of the Truman Show delusion?
No.
Truman Syndrome. It's a form of delusional belief in which a person believes their life is being filmed,
okay.
broadcast, or staged as a reality TV show, and that family, friends, and co-workers are actors and hidden cameras are everywhere.
Ooh.
It's a variant. It's not in the DSM, which is the big manual of all the ways you can be a mental. It's a variant of persecutory or grandiose delusions. So it existed before the film. It's not like this film caused a syndrome. Yeah, yeah. But it defined a syndrome. So people who were
prone
to it, what's the gang stalking is another big one where people believe that they're being followed by a group of 50 people. So they're like, okay. That van, I've seen that van 3 times today.
They're
following me. But then the next day it'll be a different van and they'll just go, yeah, they've changed van.
Right, okay.
I've been followed today by 4 Range Rovers, a lady with a dog, and a man with a funny eye. And you're like, well, what makes you think? It's like, I know they were following me. So it's similar with a slight twist because they've seen The Truman Show and they're like, they're all actors.
Okay, and a completely separate event. I remember very vividly one time where I was driving back from Wales, I think it was. Like a few years back, and the same car followed me from like Aberystwyth to the street in Telford.
That's parked jarring. Like
3 cars down.
They probably felt awful.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably thinking about it. But at the time, I was newly sober.
Right, okay.
I was still very much in fight or flight. My brain chemistry was a little, I'm not going to say on the fritz.
You can say on the fritz. Imbalanced. We don't have enough German listeners, it's fine.
Imbalanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't locked in a basement. You know what I mean? Oh, that's on the fritzel.
Yeah.
So my
best studio designer that never was.
Fucking, he was determined.
He was.
He was on it.
Imagine
you know
him
I mean?
Designing a drum room. Not a peep.
Jesus. Not a squeak out of anywhere.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You got gang stalked by a car.
Yeah, no, it was just one car. And I think it just happened to be a neighbor that was also in Aberystwyth,
yeah.
Which is a completely feasible thing because people go to Aberystwyth. Like, we live in a weird spot in the UK where our nearest beach is, like, North Wales.
Yeah, it's one road.
It's a very common thing to do.
Yeah.
Go through Shrewsbury. It's one road all the way to Wales. That's it.
Yeah.
You get to the beach. You have a lovely day. Everyone drives home at the end of it.
I can understand you being a bit weird now. I can understand less one patient traveling to New York City after 9/11.
Right.
To make sure that the terrorist attacks were not a plot twist.
Right.
Yeah, they traveled to New York.
A plot twist?
They thought it was a plot twist in their show.
Oh.
They didn't believe it was a real attack. They thought that the plot was being driven forward. And they had to go and see that it was a legitimate, real thing.
Jesus
while
Christ,
another
man.
Traveled to a Manhattan federal building to seek asylum from his television show.
Right.
This is
genuinely... I was going to save this for a little later. I'll just give you the title. Truman Show is probably the scariest film I've ever seen in my entire life.
I would agree.
Not every scary film has to be a horror show, but growing up with trust issues, being a fully grown adult man...
Get
with
into
trust
it now.
Issues,
now's a good time.
Okay. Growing up, the trust issues were quite big.
Mm-hmm.
People that were biologically programmed to be around.
Yeah.
Weren't.
Yeah.
Trust issues there.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became sort of like a weird kind of, it's a very poor school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people that, again, were supposed to have your best benefit in mind.
Poor people are snakes, I get it.
I won't call it out. I had a business teacher. He was like, and your mates have set up this little project. You've done amazing stuff. You won the school an award. That's cool. Don't worry about your coursework because we can just build off the back of that. We'll get it submitted that way. You focus on your revision to get your exam up. Once your exam's up, you're golden. Because I was really stressing about business studies. I was all right in math, English, and science. They were the big three. Music, I'd got an A in like year 10. And then I was a bit stressy about business studies. Don't worry about your coursework. It's all fine. Anyway, fucking results day rolls around. Guess who got a B on their exam and a fucking U, which means unmarked on their coursework because it wasn't handed in.
Why did he snake you?
Fuck knows. Came up to me on the end, literally the last day of school, shook my hand and was like, shame about the coursework, wasn't it? And I was like, but you said to not worry about it. And he was like, that doesn't sound like a teacher. And then walked off.
This to me, and I understand you've carried that.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like your teacher had a drinking problem.
It sounds to me.
An undeclared drinking problem.
Yeah.
Said a thing.
Yeah.
Forgot a thing.
Yeah.
And then
I naively
remembered
fucking
when you told him.
Yeah.
And just went, doesn't sound like it. And as he was walking away, was in a shame pit going, you got to stop drinking, man. You fucked that kid. You fucked that kid right over.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a better story.
That's a couple things.
That's a better story.
So there's like family and school. And then you've also got like...
You weren't a trusting child.
Careers.
Yep.
Going into careers where the promises are made, you work your dick off, 2-3 years go by and fuck all comes from it. And you're like, okay, I'll just change. Because the next place is offering the next best thing and this, that, and the other. And anyway, my trust issues are through the roof. Relationships didn't help.
Oh, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't help. But big scheme of it all, they're all great lessons to learn in the worst way possible.
No, I disagree.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I have to frame it this way, otherwise it's bad. You know what I mean?
No, I think you can recognize they were bad and move on from those lessons.
Yeah.
And say those were bad lessons.
Valuable lessons taught in a painful way.
Bad lessons taught in a painful way that you are now getting over having learned.
If we're looking for a metaphor, it's if you bend your arm like this, it will break. Whilst they're breaking your arm, bending it the wrong way.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is. It's a painful lesson.
Painful lesson.
Learned a rough way.
Yes.
That could have been learned any other number of ways.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like a figurative way. That'd have been lovely.
Very true.
Yeah.
Truman Show?
Truman Show. Scariest film ever, because all it does is it focuses on every single aspect of this man's life is a complete and utter fabrication.
His father's death, his great trauma.
Yeah.
The worst thing that ever happened to him.
Exactly.
Was for TV ratings.
All of
it. And to keep him contained.
And there's one line in the film that really fucks me up beyond belief. And it's the interview that Christoph is doing. And he's sitting there and he's talking about like, well, there was a few applications for this TV pitch. And it was, Truman was one of many unwanted pregnancies that happened to show up at the right time. And I was like,
could have been you.
That's fucking horrific thing to say out loud on TV to the world.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just happened. You know, it was a mistake that came at the right time. What the fuck are you talking about? And that line, it said so casually and so professionally. Everyone's like, it sends a fucking chill down my spine that is incurable. Like, it's just the most sadistic thing I can think of. I don't fuck those. It's the fucking worst.
Is it because it could have been you?
Maybe, but also it's because it could have been fucking anyone and they're just this weird prisoner slave that's treated completely normally. Oh, I say completely normally, like normal in the context of whatever these anonymous faceless people decide is normal.
That is terrifying.
The worst of the worst is you really start paying attention to all the shit that's in it. Worse than that.
Right.
It's what comes after it. Because he leaves.
He does.
He leaves the studio. Now, 30 years of your life, let's paint a picture. 30 years of your life, you were born into a fake world.
Yeah.
You were raised in a fake world.
Yeah.
Every single fucking moment of your life, it's really let that sink in. You're a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
You shitting yourself 2-3 times a day. That's on telly forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's on the internet archive. All of this bullshit,
that
right?
That time you were racist when you were 12 because you didn't know the ramifications.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe was taught to you the wrong way.
Exactly.
You didn't understand what those lyrics were.
Didn't realise it was an Instagram reel.
Yeah. This is what it is. So all of this shit is just, it's a permanent record of a fake world molding a real person. And it's a villain origin story.
Yes.
It's a villain origin story because there is no way that Truman leaves that fucking studio to go and fucking whatever he's planning to do, fall in love in Fiji with
Sylvia. Yeah.
With Sylvia. Yeah. There's no way that he leaves that without the most amount of paranoia, the most amount of distrust.
It always comes back to, for me, when Neo wakes up out of the Matrix, I would peel my own skin off. Because I don't know that I'm not in just a slightly bigger Matrix.
Yeah, this is Matrix 2.0.
Right.
How do we wake up from this one?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Truman Show, I'm just like, but maybe there are more cameras. Maybe this is the twist.
Okay.
Maybe the twist is I'm now been told that there are cameras so that I stop looking for the cameras.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm certain that I've escaped that world.
Mm.
But now I'm just in a bigger world where that studio is just a small part of a much bigger studio.
Right.
Okay, that's one way to go about it.
Right.
Okay, but
the Russian doll of Truman Show.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my main terrified thought would be that if that happened to me,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and I walk out that studio, my moral compass would be so fucking wrong.
Oh yeah.
Because of the thousands of people that have built my life up.
Yeah.
Have said that what they've just done is completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now broke.
I'm yeah.
the most famous man on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm broke. I have no clue what I'm doing. I would be the most evil person that has ever existed.
Truman Manson.
It would
You'd
be
start
it,
a cult.
That would be fucking the
You'd
aperitif.
Start a massive cult.
That would be the palate cleanser.
Yeah.
That would be the palate cleanser. It would get so fucking weird yeah. so quick. It'd be unreal.
Well, okay. I have good news.
Sure.
That's not going to happen.
Good.
I have worse news.
Yeah.
It's worse than that.
Sure.
So, okay, I'm just going to spill my load.
Come on.
The film grossed $125 million in the US, $264 million worldwide, garnered right. three Academy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor, Original mm-hmm. Screenplay, and Director. But that's like the tip of the iceberg of this film's impact.
Okay.
Because I think this film is a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it underreaches. I think it's too small in scope.
Okay.
So they talk at one point during the movie about how much money it brings in.
Mm-hmm.
That during peak moments of the show, they were bringing in $500 million a day, but that the average for them was $100 million.
Right.
That's the financial stats for the Truman Show.
Right.
Stated in the universe.
Right.
The Truman Show was the most profitable media company to ever exist. Because
mm-hmm.
again, the items, everything you see on screen is for sale.
Yep.
And the advertising revenue
mm-hmm.
of all those little moments where somebody looks at the camera and goes, yum, Pepsi Max, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying with one change to the show,
mm-hmm.
you can get it to make $450 million every day.
Okay.
Minimum.
How would you do that?
Well, there's a couple of clues. The number 139 is displayed on the sail of the boat that Truman uses to leave the show.
It is.
The reference to a bit of the Bible, Psalm 139.
I love this shit.
Now, it reads as follows, and it's yep. talking about God.
Yeah.
But see if you can find something a little bit more every day mm-hmm. that this also applies to that's not God,
okay.
that you have one and I have one.
Is it nipples?
No, it's better than that.
I was going to say, because I have two.
Exactly.
I don't want to brag.
Right, you ready? Psalm 139.
Yeah.
You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am with you. Do you have anything that knows when you get up, when you go to bed, what you're thinking?
Yeah.
What you're... Yeah?
Yeah. I've got a magic rectangle in my pocket that knows
you do.
Everything.
So here's the thing. I think Peter Weir and Andrew Niccol missed a trick.
Okay.
Why have just one person be the star when you could tune in and watch the lives of anyone on set? What's the bus driver doing when he gets home?
Don't need to drive a boat.
Right. How about instead of all those cameras everywhere, you gave each cast member a camera
mm-hmm.
that they carried everywhere
right.
so they could film their own segments? You could even sell them the camera. Make who's got the best camera a value judgment on them as people. And then you could even save on the edit staff. By having all the cast members edit the show themselves.
Mm.
All you have to do is make it so, like Truman,
mm-hmm.
every cast member preferred their digital self to their real self. Because Truman prefers his cell. I couldn't live without my phone knowing my going out and lying down because it's my sat-nav and it's my alarm clock.
Mm.
Sometimes it will show me adverts for things I was just talking about before a word is on my tongue.
Yeah.
You don't have to build a set then. You just cut the cast member in on a tiny amount of the ad revenue if they're popular enough and have everyone watch each other while you charge everyone for access for being on the show. People will buy their own cameras,
mm-hmm.
record their own lives,
mm-hmm.
and pay you to film them because how much is the right level of attention?
I hate this.
And as both Christoph and Mark Zuckerberg know, we will accept the reality of the world which we're presented with.
Yep.
So funny, and I'm just going to draw a parallel here. When the news anchor interviews Christoph and he says, "We know how jealously you guard your privacy."
Mm.
Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders of Apple, was speaking about Mark Zuckerberg. And he said, "Mark Zuckerberg certainly recognizes the importance of privacy. He bought a house, but also bought all the houses around it. He recognizes the importance of privacy, but doesn't respect it for others."
Yeah.
Now, I know you might say that Christoph cared for Truman.
I don't think he did.
No, because there's a scene where Christoph strokes the screen,
yeah,
showing affection for Truman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the piano in the soundtrack that we're hearing,
yeah,
is being played on screen by the piano player in the studio.
Yeah.
So this is part of the Truman Show.
Yeah.
This is being shown on the television, and it's not true affection, but damage control.
Yeah. It's trying to convince him to stay. It's emotional manipulation. It's the fucking evil baseline of Dr. Evil's predecessors. Yeah. Like, it's fucking awful.
The attention economy, as it's called,
mm-hmm,
is now the largest source of profit on the planet.
Yeah.
Selling advertising, mm-hmm, to people who are watching other people,
yeah,
live lives that they wish they had and use products that they wish they could afford, wearing clothes that are for sale underneath the very TikTok that's advertising them.
Mm.
We are all Truman.
Mm.
We are all watching other Trumans,
mm-hmm,
whilst the Christophs of the world say, it's fine. They like it this way.
Do you remember, I don't know, maybe like 9 minutes ago, where I'm like, this is the scariest movie that exists. Trust issues are like huge through the roof and all that stuff. And then you were like, yeah, yeah, don't worry about that. And then do this?
Yeah.
Are you Truman showing me right now?
I am.
Is this what it is?
I am.
This is stressful as fuck. I'm just going to pop in one of my new flavor delicious zins. Provided by Nordic Spirit. Frosty Berry. 4 strength. Mm-mm-mm. Fresh and relaxing. Then what were you saying about us being in the Truman Show?
It gets worse.
Sick. Yeah, can't wait for this. Should I pop another one in?
Yeah, I think you're going to need
this. This is the benefit of Nordic Spirit. You can do 2 for 1.
We were talking about Simone, the other Andrew Niccol movie.
Sure.
And we were talking about Tilly Norwood, the AI actress.
Yep.
And how your Facebook feed is full of AI at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, if you look back through big tech's development,
yeah,
every problem they've offered to solve for us is a freedom they've taken away, right? So,
interesting.
Why remember your own passwords and search history?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we can remember every place you visit online forever.
Yeah.
Isn't that easier?
You want to unlock your phone? Why don't I just scan your...
Why don't I just scan your face?
Scan your thumbprint.
Why don't I take a photo of your face and upload it to my servers?
Yeah, yeah.
Why write your own words to that email when it's far more convenient for us to write it for you?
Yeah.
You don't need to be good at writing.
We know how you write because we've read every other email that you've ever written.
And the latest one, why search the internet manually when we can tell you what you would have read had you gone through all the effort of finding your own information?
Mm.
Trust us. We know what you'd have read.
Yeah.
And if the internet is the Truman Show times the 8 billion people on the planet,
mm-hmm,
what the film is screaming at us to do is go outside.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Get out of the internet.
Dude.
Because so much of it right now is AI bots, mm-hmm, getting you angry about stuff so that you can have a diet of fear and adverts.
Mm-hmm.
Clips of global instability next to offers of subscriptions. Economic collapse paired with yet more adverts for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get people angry, we'll keep them watching.
Yeah.
Look at Donald Trump. Isn't he a cunt? Keep watching.
Yeah.
Look at these lefties who want to turn fruit into different genders. Keep watching. Don't look at where the money's going.
Yeah.
Look at this thing over here. Get angry about it.
This has been happening for generations and it's just a different substitute every time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the whole thing. Like, I know it's a sensitive thing at the moment because the UK is like crumbling with fucking protests left, right, and center about immigration and all this and the other. And it's the, you know, it's people who are sitting with big bank accounts going, excuse me, that person over there who's just come from a war-torn country that funded, he's going to take your money. So I'd watch him if I was you.
It's exactly
if
that.
If anything,
it's exactly that.
I'd try it. Feel an uprising coming.
Transgender brown people are the reason you've not got a pay rise this year.
Oh,
it's nothing to do with the $1 trillion pay packet that I've just got.
Yeah. Also, I don't need to disclose my £8 million Christmas budget. Like my bonus that's just hit my account. Don't worry about that. That guy right there who's on benefits, that's what's costing you all the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That person over there being themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Also, thanks for your subscription to this new service.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Peter
Weir. I hate
this
shit. I hate all of it.
Peter Weir, when accepting his Lifetime Achievement Award, said, "Unplug, get away from too much information, go somewhere quiet, go into the country, go and work on a merchant ship."
So, you know how, like, the last, I don't know, nearly 2 years, mm-hmm. I've been on this sort of, like, weird healing journey and trying to, like, really get to grips with who I am and what I'm doing, yep. and stuff like this. It's a conscious effort. It's almost as much effort as I put into hating Fede Alvarez and Jared Leto.
Right.
It's almost as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I care about it almost as much. Fede needs to stop ruining my franchises. The one thing that I'm, like, proper putting an effort into is when something is upsetting me, and I know it's upsetting me, mm-hmm. and I get caught in a little feedback loop, I'm trying to recognize when I'm in that feedback loop.
Yep.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone says something so disrespectful that it catches you off guard?
And you just accept it.
It moves on too quick can't come back to it. But then, like, 3 weeks later, you're sitting in your car, you're driving to work, and you're like, "And yeah, dickhead, I would."
And then you
do the whole comeback. But then you put yourself back in that situation of unpleasantness for no reason other than for some weird, like, self-vindication, like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I finally got my response out," to no one.
Road rage.
And you've upset yourself.
That car pulled away two turns ago, but you're still shouting at him.
This is what I mean.
You're still ruining your own day.
Yeah.
For the benefit of a stranger who didn't even see you.
Also, that stranger's got their own shit going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have turned off too. Yeah, they might have braked a bit too sudden at zebra crossing. But also, who gives a fuck?
Right.
It's none of your business.
No one drives perfect.
No one cares.
Right?
It's literally, in the grand scheme of things, it means fuck all to you. I have to try really hard to avoid all this bullshit. I'm like, this is why I just want to see videos of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the dog videos are now AI videos.
Yeah.
And that's designed to get me angry as well. But it's not. I'm not going to let it. So what I'm doing instead is I'm just not looking at videos.
So I'm taking
my dog.
Yeah.
Because if I want to see a dog, I'm making my own dog videos with my own dog. Which is lovely.
Which is exactly why for the finale of this week's show, mm-hmm. I was going to live on air show you. I'm uninstalling all of the apps that I spend the most amount of time on.
Are you actually?
Reddit, uninstalled.
Oh, you're so Reddit as well.
Yeah, that's like where I spend all of my time.
No, the only reason I have a Reddit account is because you keep sending me links to it. Yeah. I don't understand how it works. So I read your thing and then forget it exists.
And YouTube as well.
Wow.
Because from now on, I've just spent 3 days doom scrolling and I feel like shit.
That makes me sad.
I watched the Truman Show and I was just like, all I'm doing is I'm generating money for billionaires whilst not doing my own fucking laundry.
Yeah.
And then I go, I really need to do my laundry, but I'm knackered because I've been doom scrolling filth and nonsense. And not even fun filth. I mean, like, billionaire drama and political drama about places like the US is in tatters. Can I do anything about it? No. Does my feeling anything about it change a single thing? No.
No.
But I can tell you every single thing that's going. We're on day 40 of the US shutdown. Why do I know that? How does that benefit me?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just benefits me to spend more time on a platform so those companies can sell statistical data to potential advertisers.
See, I tuned out of all of this a long time ago. And legitimately, my YouTube algorithm is like, it's kind of on a win right now.
Right.
Because I'm watching a lot of shit of like, how to train your dog to do a loop-de-loop.
Perfect.
Which is a fucking great hour and a half long video of the most wholesome woman you've ever seen in your entire life do a little trick every now and then.
I'd love that if I could.
Yeah.
But like your alcoholism, not, and I say very loosely, like.
No, it's a very real addiction.
It's similar. I've been ill over the weekend. Mm-hmm. My YouTube watch time is probably about 10 hours.
Fucking hell.
10 hours.
In one weekend. That's a lot.
Of just watching guys play video games that I don't own or documentaries about stuff that I don't really care about.
Okay.
Rather than coming to the content because I enjoy the content, it's an avoidance strategy because I don't want to deal with content.
Do you know what's just clicked in my head?
Right.
We treat movies differently.
Uh-huh.
But then we flip polar opposites on how we treat social media.
Exactly.
That's weird as fuck.
I've been using it as my avoidance strategy.
I do that with films.
Exactly.
And then I use my social media and YouTube shit to learn stuff.
Yeah.
And you use it as an...
I used to use social media to learn stuff. I used to be like mad into like Veritasium and the Slow Mo guys.
Yeah.
Now it's just trash because those guys don't upload often enough to keep up with my watch diet.
Oh, that's an attention span thing,
isn't
it?
That's an attention span thing. Yeah, okay. So I'll watch the Veritasium video. He won't put another one out for a month.
Yeah.
So I've then just found cheaper content that comes out daily or every other day, and I've got five of those.
So you can
and then
fill
I'm on Reddit
hole.
And I'm just scrolling, and occasionally there'll be a funny dog or there'll be a cute animal.
Yeah.
But to be fair, most of it now is US politics, which is making me...
On Reddit?
Yeah.
I find none of this. I don't know where any of this lives. Whenever I go on Reddit, it's just people debating about Quentin Tarantino's true meaning behind Kill Bill Volume 1. And I'm like, I just love reading all the comments of
Mine
people
used to be that.
So passionate about movies. And I'm like, this is kind of sick to see these people.
Mine used to be that.
Okay.
And then they went, oh, you're on this a lot. Have some anger.
Okay.
Buy some stuff.
Yeah. I think the second I start feeling anything negative or anything like this, I'll just hug Roxy for a bit. Do you know what I mean?
It's that. And I don't have a Roxy. Yeah.
Roxy.
I'll come round.
Yeah.
I'll come round.
We'll go do the Recon, me, you and Roxy, and you see how much fucking fun she has. It honestly brightens your day.
So this episode is me disconnecting. This is me walking out of the Truman Show and saying to all of that.
Okay.
Good morning, good afternoon. If I don't see you, good night.
Sure.
And I'd like everyone to, those that can, watch the movie.
Yeah.
And think about if our lives are all that different, given the huge amount of advertising that is just in our lives, whether we want it to be or not. Because we chose to subscribe to Amazon Prime at the wrong price.
Right. I hate this shit. I hate all of it. It's therapy helps with my trust issues a lot, right? And it's getting me there bit by bit. But at the same time, it's like, do I trust it? Do I really trust it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a bad place to be in. That's something I should probably work on. I'm going to go to a different therapist.
Go to a different therapist.
To see if I can trust my therapist.
Do that.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Get them in a room together.
Book that an appointment.
That way they can't compare answers.
Yeah. I'll ask them for a home visit.
Yeah.
Lock the door.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Now who trusts who?
And I'm just going to get into whittling wood.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'll have to find some real life hobbies.
Can we do a shared hobby? Can we be can we be the straight-ish couple?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
You're too straight to
be the
couple.
It's not like
we've
not got a podcast.
Yeah.
Can we do a shared hobby?
No, but this is, hey, this is a profession. What I mean is, I really want to go and learn Spanish. Can we go learn Spanish?
From a person in real life, yes.
Yes, that's what I mean. I don't want to do a fucking Duolingo bullshit because I'm scared of owls to begin with. So to have your fucking mascot emailing me every 4 minutes being like, hey, I miss you. I'm like, fuck off, you demon bitch. Just fucking leave me alone.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's like a clingy ex. Just fuck off.
It actually is.
It's disgusting. Is. I hate it. Who puts an owl as a fucking logo?
We've just got very quick time for Comment Corner. And I had some lined up and then Instagram reset because it's a piece of shit billionaire funding fucking attention vacuum.
I like this soapbox that you're on.
Do you know what it is? You know, people go, oh, you know, since 2018, everything's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, since 2018, things have been manufactured to get worse for us so other people can have boats.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not Harambe. It's not a timeline. It's nine people.
It
having
might be
all
Harambe.
The wealth.
We don't know. We don't know what the other timeline is. I wish they'd have shot the kid. I'm joking. I'm joking. That was mean. Is that kid that fell in Harambe's thing? Is he like, no, what's he doing?
Let's Google it.
Have they said anything? Because where's...
Harambe kid refers to the three-year-old boy who fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo in 2016. I think he's had his identity protected.
He's now an adult and his current activities are not publicly known. Following the incident, he was taken to Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center for a trauma assessment, but his injuries were minor.
Deep state plant.
His families have stated that there were no plans to sue the zoo and authorities declined to charge the mother.
This kid never existed. This is the grassy knoll of our generation. This is the fucking...
There's so little
this
information.
This is the Lee Harvey Oswald of our generation.
Oh, I've just found a Reddit thing. It's a whole conspiracy black hole. Well, this is my evening.
There you go. There was no kid. They just wanted to shoot a gorilla.
There's one person that says, I know who they are.
Oh, yeah, okay, on Reddit.
And then another person is like, I mean, if you knew who it was, would you out them? Like, what are you gaining from it? And then everyone, revenge. Justice.
just before we give you our all-time rating on Peter Weir's The Truman Show, got a little bit of time to see what you lovely people are saying on my now least favorite part of the world called the internet. and we put up a reel about Dead Poets Society.
We did.
And Quad Pro Quo Pod.
Fucking love these guys.
I love them, but I could never say their name.
I'm dyslexic as fuck. I can never say their name. I just call them Quad Pro.
Quad Pro Quo Pod commented with another hot take.
Okay.
This movie is not my jam. Please don't hate me. And
there's a few hot takes.
There's a few hot takes there.
You know what? I like it.
Right. And I said,
like it.
I said it's very much a Marmite movie and then corrected myself because I was like, sorry, you're American. I'm not sure you even know what that means.
What do Americans have for Marmite?
They don't.
Vegemite. Do they import it from Australia? Yeah, but I mean, they've got to import some shit, right?
Nothing. That's in the UK section. You know when you go to a Polski sklep?
Yeah.
In fucking the love UK? Them. Love them. Yeah. But you know there's like brands in there that you've never seen before.
Only
you
another
have no
Polsky
idea
Sklep.
What that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Only another Polski sklep. Yeah. That's Marmite in the US. But
okay,
they got back and okay. They said, I'm a worldly traveller and I've had not only Marmite, but Vegemite.
Oh!
That's possibly the best travelled American
there you go.
That we know. And we know at least two.
Yeah. Well, four.
Four.
On Quad Pro Quo.
Oh, was it? So it's Quad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh!
There you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Still a nightmare.
Did I say that film pod also got in touch and said, even though Robin was loved by so many, he still was such an underappreciated dramatic actor. And this is a prime example of his brilliance in that department.
Too true.
Brings me back to my point. As a comedian, he's fucking annoying. But as a dramatic actor,
I don't think
he's
so.
Incredible. Insomnia, 1 hour photo.
Great.
What Dreams May Come, Dead Poets Society,
Jack.
The Fisher King.
Jack, one of his comedic roles where he's not fucking mad annoying. World's
okay.
Best Dad.
We do need to watch it.
World's Best Dad, have you seen that?
No.
All right, we're going to watch that because that's another dramatic role, but there's bits of comedy in there and he kind of minces the two together.
Is it
together.
Another one where it's actually quite problematic now, like Mrs. Doubtfire? Because Mrs. Doubtfire is wildly problematic now.
It was... It's always
that's a stalking.
It's always going to be problematic for different reasons.
Okay.
The whole premise of it is problematic.
Okay.
That's the point of the film.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
You're going to love it, actually, thinking about it. Because okay. You were saying the other day, you were like, I've been watching Lady Vengeance, and I'm like, who puts that on to just unwind? Who puts on Lady Vengeance to unwind? That's fucking... That's
it's
a Redditor with a manifest.
Right? Honestly, if I'm like, I could, I was thinking when I was cooking my dinner earlier, yeah. I was like, what if I just did a Luigi Mangione and just took out Meta? Just.
It'd be
just
replaced. It'd be replaced. This is my problem with the Luigi thing, right? I get the statement, I do, but that hole has been filled by another person doing the exact same thing for the exact same money. The exact same outcomes. It's not done.
It's because we keep watching, right? It's not Christoph that's the problem. It's us watching.
This is exactly it. Yeah. The last line in the Truman Show is what else is on? The attention is gone. The second that the show is over, no one gives a fuck. You're over it. What's next on? What's the next thing that I'm into? What's the next thing that's going to grab me? It doesn't matter. And I get the whole thing. I do. And I sympathize with it. I do. I think the outcome is a bunch of ruined lives for the exact same thing to carry on happening.
It's cathartic,
the machine
though,
just fucking keeps going. It's not ending.
Unless we stop watching.
Stop fucking feeding the meter.
Get into whittling.
Just
go work on a merchant boat.
The only real solution is fucking village doctors and living in huts off the grid.
This is it. I've moved to Broseley and I'm like, that's the future.
Yeah.
I might cancel my internet subscription and we'll just do the podcast around yours.
Fuck it. I say we just record it onto cassette and start leaving them in parks.
Wax cylinder.
Yeah, fuck them. Get a tape machine and we'll see you at some point in the future.
Early in the podcast life, back when I had ambition, there is a Teenage Engineering do a vinyl press.
I thought you were on about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for a second.
No.
I'm not going to lie. I zoned out for a second and started thinking about Teenage Mutant Ninja
There's
Turtles.
A company called Teenage Engineering. They make synthesizers. Okay. They make cool audio stuff.
Cool.
And then they price it 20 times what it's worth to make it aspirational.
Sure.
But they made a limited run of record presses.
Oh, you sent
where
me
you
this.
Could record a 7-inch vinyl.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a brilliant limited edition bit of merch.
Yeah.
Just a single copy. Be like the Wu-Tang album. Where there's only one copy.
Yeah.
You have to own that copy.
Yeah.
We should start doing podcast episodes like that.
I'd be so down for doing just sort of like one thing.
One listener gets to hear the episode.
Just one thing.
You can maybe post it to another listener if you're feeling kind.
What a fucking flashback that would be. My brother was telling me about when he was a kid, and if someone in town had got like the new U2 record, everyone would just go to his house.
Maybe we should go back to our roots. Mm. Remember when you were a kid and you found a dictaphone and you just started...
I used my hands, to be honest.
Right. Of course you did. Because you were in the Midlands, so you just scratched things onto rocks and went...
Oh, no, I meant I used my hands to phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Who uses their dictaphone?
Oh, that was...
He's done it!
That was a worse joke than I expected.
60 minutes into an episode and he's done it! Ruined it dead!
That is the end of the show where we've peaked. We love you all dearly. Thank you for hanging out with us.
It's been such a joy.
Sorry for being Conspiracy Rob today. I don't know where it's come from.
I quite like Conspiracy Rob. We'll see you on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet.
In like 40 minutes. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Probably.
Maybe.
How the fuck am I supposed to do the weekly takeaway on this?
Ben's now going to sum up the positive thoughts, feelings, and emotions that this week's show will have left you with, thanks to me, into a Monday motivational pep talk to help you get through the week of the hellscape we are forced to live in. While I just tell you to do what every fucking thing on the internet tells you to do, which is just... consume.
Listen, there's been a lot said this episode it's not negative, but it's pointing out how a tool is being used for the worst, and I think it's in our power to use the same tool to do good and get a good positive outcome from it, even if it's small and personal. Discord. Do you know the amount of poignant conversations gorgeous bastards have had on that platform that has made my absolute fucking week? That shit right there, that little nugget of joy, that positive spark, it can fucking grow into a fire. All we need to do is, I reckon, we Luigi Mangione it all. Do you know what I mean?
I'm telling
fuck
you.
Fuck it.
I'm telling you.
I'm with you. I've come full circle. I'm into it, man. Let's do it. We can't say that on the internet. We're not going to do it.